read God's word. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The title of the psalm is "To the Choir Master, a Psalm of David." The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What person's voice would you love to hear today? You may be thinking about somebody that's important in your life, or even a loved one perhaps that's passed away. Well, imagine this though. You can hear God today. Think of that. You can hear God, the Almighty God, speak today. And some of you may well, of course I can, and I'm doing it all the time. But some may say, what are you talking about, Pastor Bruce? That's not possible. And I want you to understand, yes, it is possible. And how it is possible and what we mean by that, not some kind of weird thing of voices in your head, probably not, but the reality of God speaking and hearing God speak in a way that Psalm 19 talks about. We're unpacking this psalm and looking at the whole issue of hearing God speak, and we're going to be moving more and more into this today and in the next few messages as well. But we're considering how David praised God for hearing God speak. We're just like, wow, an amazing thing that God speaks and how he reveals himself to us. And especially today, we're looking at how he speaks by his word, scripture itself. David, as he considers this, he's praising God. He begins with, "The heavens declare the glory of God," and seeing all those words for speech and language and knowledge. But then he shifts in verse 7 to praising God for his word. Not just how God speaks through his world, which of course he's worthy of worship because he speaks through his world to display his great glory, his worthiness of praise. But now we're understanding as believers redeemed by God, how God uses his word to bring about that redemption and move us to worship him as David does. That's Psalm 19, verse 1, and the whole context here taking us into those verses 7 and following we're beginning to look at today. And verse 7 is really that wonderful hinge verse, a transition. The movement from the world and the revelation of God in the world to the Word, the revelation of God in the Word. You can see how all the words just like pop at a whole higher level. And the personal name of God is used, the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's the summer psalm we're considering today, and we're looking at this whole issue of God's revelation through his word. And today we're going to kind of zoom in on a couple of key benefits of the revelation through the word. And you may, as we read those, go, yeah, of course. But we're really going to unpack those and consider how we apply those today. It's not just knowing that God brings these through the word. It's actually experiencing God bringing these through the word. And let's do a quick scan there of Psalm 19. We've kind of looked at a slide similar to this every week, but how does God speak? Well, he speaks through the word, through the world, rather. That's to all people in a general way. It's kind of vague, but it reveals God's glory. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. And God speaks through his word. And this is so wonderful. Redeemed people understand this. And God has redeemed by his word. And this is what we call special revelation. People don't come to know God personally as Savior apart from special revelation, which is Scripture. Which is this revelation in his word. And we're going to talk about that revelation and a response today. And where does that take us? Psalm 19, verse 14 was the very first verse we unpacked in the series. We began at the end because this is where the Word takes us. The Word takes us to worship. The Word of God, the Scriptures, as we embrace the truth of Jesus, we are redeemed by the Word, the gospel message, and then we say and sing, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So hopefully that's where this Word is taking you today and this message series as you consider it. That's where God's Word should take us. Let's focus just on kind of where we're going today as we're working our way through. It's the third message, hearing God speak. Today we're considering the Word and the response to the Word, not just knowing it, but experiencing it. And we're going to look at the terms for God's Word in this text. This is significant. There's some application there. And then we're going to look at two results of God's Word, two tremendous benefits from God's Word. We're going to overview these verses 7 to 9. We're going to look really intently at verse 7 and these two wonderful benefits of hearing God speak through the Word. And we're going to continue a little more in those verses 8 and following as we move ahead in coming weeks. There's so much here. I want to make sure we can get an understanding of what's really here. Now, imagine that you were going on a camping trip and you had your backpack and you went on the trip. And imagine as you're out there, you're famished. You're getting weaker and weaker because of lack of food. And you're thirsty. You're dehydrated and like, oh, really bad. And it's like you're just slogging along because you don't have enough of water to drink. And you're totally lost. You don't even know where you are. You're not even sure you can make it out. And you've got food in your pack, water in your pack, and a GPS and a map in your pack. But you're leaving it in your pack. If you're feeling somehow spiritually famished, hungry, lost today, the problem isn't that you don't have the resources in your pack. The problem is you're not pulling them out. I want to help you pull them out. I want to understand what is really there for you in the Word of God. Whatever your stage spiritually, wherever you're at, there's something here today for you. I believe it. So stay with us. We're going to look at the terms for God's Word and the two wonderful benefits of taking in and hearing God speak through the Scripture today. Let's look first at the terms here. It's presented to us in this very wonderful poetic form, Hebrew parallelism, verses 7, 8, and 9. If you see it, you can see that everything is of the Lord, 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 six different times. And this is a parallelism to underscore what God's Word is, the wonderful benefits of God's Word, and the qualities of God's Word. It's all right there. And David is not just saying this, he's singing this. He's jazzed about how God has revealed himself in the world. Wow, look at that creation, how it speaks the glory of God. And he's super jazzed about how God speaks through his Word. And we should be too. To receive it with joy because of what it is, because of what it brings to our life, as we submit to it, experience it, hear God speak. I hope you get some sense of that as we look at this today. And David, of course, is using six different terms. One of them is kind of a unique one. So for sure, five different terms that really are just his way of saying the Bible. The Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God, God's revelation. He has these different terms for it. So when we read these, we can say this was David's way of saying the Bible at his time. Remember, David was writing when he probably pretty much just had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And there may have been a few, you know, Psalms and Proverbs or whatever floating around that, but, you know, eventually became Scripture. But he didn't have all the rest of the prophets. He didn't have the New Testament and the completed revelation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have all that wonderful stuff, the rest of God's full revelation that we have in Scripture. But he did have that Bible of his time, and these were the words he used to describe it, of what it is, and its qualities, and its benefits. So if that's true for David, just having Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, think of that. This is especially true for us as we consider the full revelation of God in Holy Scripture, the faith once for all revealed to God's people in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at these terms, and then let's talk about the application of this. Why can I trust the Bible? What is the Bible? What are the benefits of the Bible? It's all right here in this little chart. David calls the Bible the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the rules of the Lord. I put that fear in red for a reason, and we'll talk more about that in a bit. Law gets at the idea of instruction. Testimony is sometimes translated statutes. Precepts get at the idea of the charge. God said, hey, look, here's what you need to do. There, go do it. That's a charge. The commandment gets at the idea of the orders or the specific things we must do because God has told us. And the rules get at the judgments of God, the realities that God has revealed to us for his verdicts. And all of these, I submit to you, underscore the idea of doing what God says. Embracing what God has said as God's word, not standing above it and saying, oh, I'll choose to reject that if I so choose. They all get at this idea of submission to God's word. And furthermore, the one that's in red, fear, that is submission to God's word, right? David substitute a response for the word as one of the titles for God's word, because that response of, oh, God is God and I do what God says, I hear his word as his word, is the only right heart response to God's word. So some reject God's word outright. I don't believe that stuff. Some reject God's word sort of selectively. This is common in Christian circles. I like the parts of the Bible that I like. And the parts that I don't like, okay, I'm not going to say I don't. It's not God's word, but I don't like them, so I don't accept them. Which you've kind of at that point asserted yourself above God's word, haven't you? The whole thing is God's word. Everything God says is God's word. And we can point to the problems of those Christians and those churches who reject the full authority of the Bible. And there are many, many problems with those kinds of Christians and those kind of churches. But let's not be those kinds of Christians or that kind of church that says, oh, I'll just take the parts I like. The whole of it is God's word. And the idea is to submit to God's word. The Lord speaks through his word. And a third category is not necessarily selectively rejecting the Bible, but the neglect of the Bible, which is essentially a rejection of the Bible, right? So if that Bible is dusty or ignored or rarely opened, not hearing the word in teaching, not hearing the word in reading, not hearing the word in meditation, not hearing the word in study, then that is a non-submission to God's word, isn't it? And that's sort of like leaving that food and water and GPS in the pack. So the Lord speaks. You can trust the Bible. And those qualities of perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous, we're going to talk about two of those today. And then we're going to talk about the rest of those qualities in the coming weeks. But let's scan through verses 7 through 9, just looking at those references to the word, the qualities of the word, and catching the results of the word. He says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. And of course, Jesus brings the whole new covenant and God's full revelation and the once for all faith delivered to the saints. We can look at those scriptures we wanted. This scripture, as David speaks of it, is fulfilled and in all of its fullness, God's revelation in Jesus Christ. But the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Notice how David rejoiced in it. He received it, and we do too. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. There's that insertion of a response to the word for a title for the word, because the response is so embedded in what we need to see happening when we truly accept it as the word. Fearing God and receiving his word with a sense of submission. And then the rules of the Lord are true and righteous all together. That's a little bit of a review of the terms, the parallelism, the rejoicing in the reality and truth of the word. There's so much there. We're going to continue to unpack some of those verses in the coming messages. But let's look specifically at verse 7 today. Can we just kind of zoom in on that verse? Two results of the word. As you think about the Bible, God's revelation, think about, do you need life today, spiritual life, more spiritual life, renewed spiritual life, some aspect of your life out of sync? Like, oh, there's an area that needs to be given life. Remember, because it is perfect, God's word brings life, spiritual life. And David is celebrating this, not just as like, oh yeah, there's one time in my life I got something from the word. No, this is an ongoing reality as we accept it and we continue to take it in and hear God speak. God uses his word to bring life. And we're going to talk also about how because God's word is sure, God's word makes wise. It brings wisdom. And none of us is naturally wise. We are simple. We're like children. We only get wisdom, not by just living life or knowing stuff. We get wisdom by the word of God, the truth of God. God's word makes the simple wise. It brings wisdom. And we're going to talk about that today. These won't come as we neglect the word or we reject the word. These come only as we hear the word, open the word, submit to the word, and realize that these benefits are for us. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 is a classic verse on the Bible and speaking of the reality of what the Bible is. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. God breathes out by the power and working of his Spirit this message. And therefore, it is profitable. Because it is God-breathed, it is God's message to us. It is profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness. That's sort of the idea embedded in Psalm 19, verse 7. Because God's word is perfect, it brings life. Because God's word is sure, it makes the simple wise. God has given this message not just for us to say, oh, that's true stuff, but God has given this message to transform us by that truth. And that's what we're going to look at today. Two wonderful results of God's word. The first is it brings life. The idea of perfect, God's word is perfect, in the Hebrew has the idea of being sound or complete. God's word has no mixture of error, anything that is unsound or lacking the completeness God intends for it. God's word is perfect. And therefore, it revives the soul. It brings life and renewal to the nefesh, the Hebrew word for soul. That's the idea, not just of life, but of spiritual life, life in God life, real life. If you need that spiritual life, life in God life, real life, the answer is the message and truth of God's word. Wherever you're at in your journey. For some, this may be like starting, like I don't even know where to begin. Well, God's word gives you what you need to begin. For some, you might be stuck. There's some area of your life. It could be related to hurt, could be related to some kind of deep kind of struggle, trouble. It could be related to any kind of spiritual lethargy somehow sinking in somewhere, some area of compromise or some area where you're not growing. You know it. It's not a green life spot in your yard. It's a brown spot. It's a dead zone. like with the cell phones, like somebody's driving out where in the country, it's like, oh, I just hit a dead zone. You might be in a dead zone somewhere, spiritually speaking. What's the answer? God's word. God's word, wonderfully, God has chosen to use his word to renew life in those dead zones. When we embrace it, when we take hold of it. And furthermore, you need this all the time. You need daily sustenance, every one of us. You can't set it and forget it in your Christian life. There's no such thing. You need daily sustenance, like you need daily food and daily water. Well, how do we get that? The Word. The Word is our daily sustenance. It provides what we need. Let's look at some scriptures. We're going to kind of go in and out between the New Testament and Psalm 19. And what David reveals here so wonderfully dovetails into the revelation in the New Testament in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is it that one is born into spiritual life? It is through the Word. The Bible says this in many places. One of those is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You have not been born again through the perishable seed, but through the imperishable seed, which is the living and abiding Word of God. And just below there, in those verses following, Peter makes clear, this is the word, the central message of the word is the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, and new life through faith in him. When you hear that message, Jesus died for you and can make your sins clean and give you new life by a personal response of faith. When that message first comes to you and you say, oh, yes, I get it. The word has at that moment brought you to new life. It is through the living and abiding word one receives new spiritual life. There may be some here today that need spiritual life. You've been hanging around a bit, but you haven't experienced being born into new spiritual life. And it's not a matter of jumping through hoops or this or that. Just hear the word and embrace the word. What a wonderful, powerful thing the word is. David came to that personal relationship with God. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, he says, my rock and my redeemer. Is God your redeemer today? A personal response to the word, acknowledging that Jesus, by his blood, paid for what was necessary for your sins' forgiveness. That provision of his death gives those who receive him by faith new life. And that message is the message that I'm declaring to you. It's the summary message of the word. And here's a wonderful thing that happens when we hear the message of the word and open our heart to receive it and receive new spiritual life. Not only are we saved, but now we hear God speak. When we read, I've heard this story so many times from people. I used to read the Bible, found it boring, and didn't get anything out of it. And then I accepted Jesus, and suddenly, like, wow, this is amazing. This is so amazing. Well, what happened? Because you didn't have ears before. They were plugged, at least. But God opens your ears. And of course, Jesus talks about this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They don't say, no, Jesus, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. They say, tell me, Jesus, please. Tell me, Jesus, I want to follow you. That's what happens when we receive the word. And of course, life is hard and there's lots of complexities and we got baggage, hurts and this and that and crazy, confusing stuff and all kinds of things going on. There's lots of areas where you can enter into a dead zone. And what's the answer? Grit it out and hope and pray it gets better? No, the answer is the word. Take hold of the word. Psalm 19, verse 7 there, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That's renewing, restoring, giving life to your life, your spiritual life. It's the word that does that. I heard one person recently describe that they feel distant from God. This is a believer. What's the answer? Well, the word. God, speak to me. Lord, I embrace your word in the correction or the call to come to you or the consoling that I need. Whatever it is, God will, by His Spirit, give us it as we open and embrace His Word. The law of the Lord revives the soul because it is perfect. And then let's talk about how we're sustained in spiritual life daily. You know, Jesus Himself was. When Jesus was tempted by the devil there in the wilderness, what did He do? Well, He drew upon the Word. What a wonderful example. He knew the Word. He drew upon the Word. He called to mind the Word. The Word spoke to Him. But what He said about the Word, Matthew 4:4, think of this. Man shall not live. He's quoting Deuteronomy, actually. And there it is. There's the Word in the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, it's not about the physical stuff and what you think you need. There's something to that to keep you physically alive, but real life is not in that. We live real life by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we need that just like you need bread every day or some kind of food coming in. You need the Word every day. You know, and this is kind of the whole practice of like daily devotions and whatever. It's not because there's some kind of ritual, follow checkbox. Like, no, you need eat spiritually. You need sustenance. We need this, brothers and sisters, so that we are renewed daily in spiritual life. We need the gathering together and the studying together so we're renewed daily in spiritual life. This is not some badge we wear, like how many, you know, days you've done the Bible app in a row, whatever. It's like this is your food. Is how the relationship with God is nurtured. You're sustained by the Word. I heard this story several years ago about a couple of college students in the same dorm. One was a Christian, a sold-out follower of Jesus, and a guy just down the way was a Muslim. And the Christian had this great idea. He said, "Hey, I got an idea. How about I'll read the Quran if you read the Bible." And the Muslim guy said, "Oh, you know, why not? Let's try it." So about halfway through that term, the Muslim came to faith in Jesus Christ. There were probably other things in play there, but one piece of that was the reading of the Bible. And he's growing as a believer, and it's really cool, great fellowship, whatever. And then near the end of that term, as the story goes, the guy, former Muslim, now a believer in Jesus, was reading his Bible one night. The other guy was in the other room, and he burst into the room and said, "You tricked me." And the Christian's like, "What?" He said, "You tricked me." "So how can you say that?" He said, "I just read Hebrews 4:12, and based on what Hebrews 4:12 said, I didn't have a chance because my book is just another book, but the Bible is the living and active Word of God." This is speaking of the power of God's Word. "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That Word brings life. And of course, he said that with a smile on his face, knowing and having experienced the power of the Word. And we need that wherever we need that. My prayer is that each and every one of us respond where God wants us to respond, in embracing and experiencing the truth that the Word revives the soul. Let's talk about the second result, which is because it is sure. And that gets at the idea of dependable, trustworthy. The word is actually used in the Old Testament of pillars that were capable of supporting. So not the kind of pillar that's going to crack and crumble and then the structure collapses. Because God's Word is sure, God's Word makes wise. It brings wisdom to the simple. I'd like us to talk a bit about how this power of God's Word to make us wise, this benefit of God's Word making us wise, applies to our discipleship priorities and applies to our discernment in perplexities. You know, what's really interesting to think about, we have so much information today, so much more information than any other time in history. But clearly, we're not wiser. There's not more satisfaction, more joy, more peace, more sense of significance. No, there's just more mental illness, anxiety, all kinds of stress stuff, right? And I'm not disparaging those who are struggling. I think God's got some good stuff to say related to the pathway of their growth, healing, and help. I'm just saying we're clearly not wiser as a culture. And the problem then isn't information. The problem is transformation. The problem is we need to experience the truth of God's word, and we need to embrace the truth of God's word, and not just a generic level like, hey, I've got a few verses, or not just a bunch of knowledge, but we're not living and apply it, but the reality of God experiencing God's transforming power by a lifelong process of submitting to God's word and applying that word in the difficult issues and realities that we face, the perplexities that come up against us. This is what we need as individuals. This is what we need as a church. And praise the Lord, God makes wise by his word. Isn't that good? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is wisdom applied and experienced. As applied and experienced knowledge, it begins at conversion, because it says the scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, but it grows over time. It's a time and long-term process of responding to the word that builds wisdom in somebody's life. Do you want that? Open the word. Submit to the word. Take in the word. Rejoice in the word. Because God's word is sure, it makes wise the simple. So because of all the areas of hurt, dysfunction, struggle that we experience, yeah, we've got some becoming wise to do. Oftentimes we fall into patterns of simplicity, patterns that are like, it's really not getting us anywhere. But it's the word that helps us to grow in wisdom. And we take it in and we learn new paths. We grow in these. This is community is a part of this too. It's not just off in isolation, because sometimes that brother and sister can pray for us and encourage us, or even gently point out to us the things that we're not seeing about ourselves or the application of God's word. What are your priorities in life? Just kind of throwing that out there. Are they wise priorities? Like what's really important is important to you? God's kingdom is really important to you. The advance of the gospel is really important to you. People and relationships are really important to you. Things that are going to last for eternity are really important to you. A lot of times they're not. And that's not wisdom. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, growing in this wisdom, I mean that the gospel and the glory of God are more and more important to me. And my comfort is less and less of a big deal to me. Because I see what's really wise. It's not life revolved around me picking verses so it can shape life according to me, but it's life revolved around the purposes of the kingdom. God, shape me and mold me for the things that glorify you. That's wisdom. So discernment is needed, isn't it? Yeah, we're in crazy times right now. The polarization and politicalization of everything, not just politics. We've always had some degree of that. But education is polarized. Media is polarized. The news is polarized. Even science is polarized. These are crazy times that we live in. And of course, there's an entrenched hostility to the gospel that is pervading this polarization and politicalization. And so as Christians, it requires for us great courage to stand for the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word. But also this requires discernment. Here's the sad truth, folks. Sometimes Christians who believe the Bible have been buying stuff that's wacky, have been propagating things that are not based on Scripture or based on the facts. So for all the stuff that we read and we rightly reflect, or that's not biblical, that comes from the secular world and the secular media, we must, brothers and sisters, be discerning about all the stuff that's forward from a Christian source that isn't true, that isn't accurate. Let me give you a couple examples of wacky conspiracy theories. One is that a computer microchip is embedded in the COVID vaccine. Here's another one. QAnon. QAnon is full-blown heresy. It's not some secret things Christians have kind of come and fall upon. These are just two examples. And gullibility, folks, is not a Christian virtue. Gullibility is not a Christian. Now, what am I saying by this? That I've got easy answer to all these complex things? It's, no, I don't. But I'm sounding a warning about the need for wisdom and the need for discernment. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. Test with Scripture, truth of Scripture, and what is truly factual, not just what appeals to our ears. There are things that are the underbelly of the Christian community that we need to acknowledge are there that might play into how some things that are not true might be things we want to embrace. One of these is fear. So when we're at times of extreme social upheaval and change, which we're in, no doubt about it, sometimes the easy thing is to say, I've got a simplistic answer, and I can solve my fear by just categorizing things. This is this, this is that, and I've got the answer to everything based on my fear-driven response. Another is pride. One of the things that's an appeal of wacky conspiracy notions is that it appeals to somebody's pride to say, well, I'm in the right, and I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. Notice how I am the enlightened one here. So we must maintain a spirit of wisdom, which is humility. We must maintain a spirit of fairness in appealing to what is factual. We must be about the main things of the Bible. And oftentimes when these conspiracies are going wild, they have maybe something that's a secondary biblical truth that they're emphasizing, but they're not prioritizing the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So often, they're about something secondary, not primary. And so I'm appealing to us to consider our need for biblical wisdom. And what does that mean? They said, we need the Word. We constantly need the Word. We need to test everything by the Word. We need to not just jump to quick answers, but even to be considering, where in me does the Word speak to my propensities, to my biases, to my reflective reactions? And wouldn't it be great if one thing we said about Christ's followers was, wow, they're really wise. They're really wise. Now, where did that come from? It doesn't come from out there, the posts, the feeds, or whatever. It comes from the Word. It comes from being grounded in the Word. Rightly understood, rightly applied, rightly lived. How do we reply? How do we respond? We got to hear God. And the only way we really hear God in a personal way and know Him as Savior is by a response to the gospel, receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus crucified and risen. This is the good news. And as you hear it, if you receive it, God brings life. And the beginning of that path of wisdom development is that response. God's Word makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. If you haven't taken that step, take that step today. And then let's rejoice in the scripture. This is what David is doing here. He's all about hearing God and giving attention to God. God has spoken. God's word is alive and powerful. This word of God has these wonderful benefits. And we've unpacked two of those today, bringing life and bringing wisdom. And let's end by just considering, as believers, where do you need real progress today? Where do you need the word? Where do you need the word for renewing life? Where do you need the word for growing in wisdom? Let's ask God to give us that as we respond to him. God will give it. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you redeem through your word. You give life through your word. You grow us in wisdom through your word. Lord, we need your word. We ask that you would help us, God, each and every one of us, and in particular anyone here today who is yet to receive you, that they would respond in receiving your word, the gospel. Lord, for those who have areas of deadness, that they would experience the receiving of your word and the renewing power of your word to bring renewal to their spiritual life, Lord. Lord, where we're in need of wisdom and growing in wisdom, help us to have a heart that embraces your word. And God, that you would give us discernment in these times of great change and great challenge, Lord, and great pushback to the gospel, Lord. Help us to be about the big things and not be distracted by things that would miss the big things of your glory in the gospel, of your work in us, Lord, transforming us, of prayerfully, God, asking you to work so that more and more people hear of Jesus and receive Jesus, and that we will be faithful always to your word. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand as we praise him together.